of the toughest places that you can ever find yourself is in a difficult marriage. But the reality is it happens. And sometimes people go through difficult times. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing some stuff on the program around the theme, Your Best Is Yet to Come. One of the places that can feel like the most incredible prison is life in a difficult marriage. No marriage is perfect, but I guess that's the very thing that makes marriage one of God's greatest blessings. Husband and wife both have to learn about love and compassion and mercy and all those things. That's what marriage teaches us. It's a tough schoolroom some days, and sometimes it feels like it can't ever get any better. A message like your best is yet to come can frankly be just a bit hard to swallow. I'm passionate about my marriage, and for me, one of the things that underpins everything that I am is that on the 18th of October, 1998, I promised Jackie, my wife, that I would love her and stick with her through everything that life can throw at us. We're joined again today on the program by tennis legend Margaret Court. Now, between 1960 and 1975, Margaret won over 62 Grand Slam titles in her career. Yet when it was all over, she had a difficult road to travel. And I guess there were days when it didn't ever feel that life could get any better. Days when it certainly must have felt that her best was well and truly over. And so today, I'm keen to explore that journey, and I guess from the perspective of her marriage. Margaret, welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful being here.
Margaret, one of the things that's really sad and tragic in our society today is the rate at which marriages are falling apart. I know marriage is something very dear to your heart. 39 years married?
39 years married. Yeah, we've got our 40th next year, so big one.
You get a telegram from the Queen, don't you, when you get 40 these days? Not many people do.
I'm not sure.
Tell us about marriage. You married towards the end of your tennis career, is that right?
No, in the middle, 1967. Actually, I retired in 65 and I sort of travelled for 5 years around the world for 10 months of the year, and I thought I've had enough of this because we would go away for so long, living out of suitcases, love my nation. Decided to go and live in Perth because people in Melbourne knew all about me, knew everything I did. So went to the other side of Australia. I thought nobody knows me over there. In that time, I thought, well, probably I'll never go back into tennis, and met my husband. We decided, I said to him, well, why don't we go back on tour for 1 year and you see the life I led? And we did do that, and I got back to number one in the world. So then we went on for about another 7 or 8 years. So it was right in the middle of my career, and I probably played some of my best tennis after I got married.
How did that sort of travelling and all that tennis thing affect your marriage, your relationship?
Well, we used to be together all the time. We had a wonderful marriage. I guess I married a man that was very secure in himself, was a great strength to me and encouragement. Barry and I have always had a very good marriage, but it was when I started to find the power of the scriptures and the word of God and knowing how to put it into my marriage, into children. We had four little children. I started to learn to put God into my marriage, and, you know, you learn how to pray together and stand in agreement together. It's very powerful because when you get married, you become one flesh. When you give your heart to Christ, you become one spirit. Mm. Marriage is very precious in the eyes of God. He made man for woman and woman for man. And I think probably it's one of the areas, as you were saying, marriage breakups and things today, I think a lot of selfishness comes into it. And I've learnt just how the spoken word, how when you say in a marriage, I do, how powerful that is. And then you start to learn the power of God's word in your marriage. I love you. My husband, I think ever since we were married, and that was hard for me, always said from the first day we were married, I love you. And he said it every day of our marriage. That was hard for me to say that because I was never brought up in that. I didn't know that word. I'd say, I love you. But it wasn't the heart of it. And I think that's the wonderful thing about our marriage. We've always told one another we love one another. Even the children, if it's on a phone call, love you. They've grown up saying that with one another. they're very, very powerful words, and I think it brings something into your marriage, just gets deeper and deeper.
Wow. Someone might be sitting there listening and saying, well, Margaret, that's well and good for you. You're really fortunate. You've got a great husband and he was secure and he tells you that he loves you. But I don't have that sort of marriage. You know, I don't have that sort of relationship. I can't ever imagine that I'll have that sort of relationship with my husband or my wife. I've heard you speak about your best is yet to come. What does that mean in a marriage that's difficult? What would you say to a person like that?
Well, I believe, too, that people see the weaknesses instead of encouraging one another, instead of speaking good things over one another. Start to say, my husband loves me, my husband... See, in the scriptures it says that we're to love one another, that a woman is to honour and respect a husband, that the husband is to love the wife as Christ loves the church. That means he lays down his life. You start to pray that. You start to speak that. And you trust God in that area. And God starts to turn things around. You'd be surprised when you start to speak the answer of what God says about your marriage. Find the scriptures that talk about marriage. You find the scriptures that talk about health. You find the scriptures that talk about your children if they've gone wayward. And you start to pray that. You start to speak that. You start to thank God for his promises. And then you start to see God moving on your marriage. And you start to see him moving on your husband when you least expect it. And he starts to move within it. But I believe so often we speak the negative, we speak doom, we speak gloom, and we can speak death into our marriage or we can speak life into our marriage. And the power of words to create and to form and to frame your marriage, your family, is up to you. We choose life or death.
Mm.
And I don't think a lot of people really understand that, and they bring devastation into their marriage because of what they speak over one another.
It's amazing the power of God's word when it comes off our lips, isn't it? One of the most powerful scriptures for me is Ephesians chapter 5, 25, which says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And as you just said, what that means, husbands, is you lay down your life for your wife. Hard some days.
Well, it is, but it's when we think some things sometimes. That's why the mind is the battlefield, and that's why we've got to pull those thoughts down right away and think on the promise of God and sometimes not say what we're thinking and reverse that. That can become a curse to your life. So reverse it with the answer, and then you'll see the goodness come out of it.
Yeah, look, Margaret, thank you for that. And I would encourage you, if you're struggling in your marriage, if you're saying, this is never going to get any better, grab a Bible, open it up, go to just Ephesians chapter 5. It's towards the end of the Bible. And just read that for a bit and begin to speak God's word over your marriage. And as Margaret just said, you'll be surprised.
That's right. It's wonderful.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you.
Listen up. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life right at this moment, what you have going on, be it good, bad, or ugly, God has a plan for your life, a plan for good, a plan for a future of meaning and purpose and impact, a plan that we couldn't possibly comprehend if we tried. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Your Best is Yet to Come. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the amazing future that God has planned for you. And at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-book will be winging its way to your inbox in same time tomorrow with a different perspective. It's ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.